Ultimate Deck Podcast. Need a show about outdoor living? This is where it's at with your hosts, Shane Chapman and Wade LaBrette. Thank you for tuning in. Now let the show begin. Yeah, the Ultimate Deck Podcast. Let's go.
Welcome back, you beautiful people. Wade and Shane here. It's been a minute. That's not true. We've been really...
Well, we were pretty steady with these.
We were, but we've been recording them in bulk, so it feels like it's been a minute since you and I have sat down and recorded them.
Haha, we tricked
them. It's been 3 or 4 weeks, but they've been rolling out every week, so that's good. How are you today?
I'm so good.
Good. You know, I had a new intro recorded for this, like, months ago.
That was so funny. I was listening to that intro, and I was just going to say that. So you know that you
it's been done for a while.
Just because you have nothing on your plate.
The only thing that bothers me is that the web address is still wrong at the end. It's like ultimatedeckshop.com. And it's like, we've been using tuds.ca for years. So I'd like that to change. But I really dig the vibe of that, though. Like, I like the hip-hop one.
No.
Okay. Well, change it. Well,
we're changing everything. We're changing what we sell. So we're changing how we sell.
Yeah, you even changed your underwear last night.
Yeah, I did.
So the new one, it's been a while since I listened to it.
Ran out underwear.
But I believe it's much more like back to like
Frank Sinatra.
DJ, radio DJ sound. Like,
oh, yeah.
Podcast.
Those are pretty good. You know,
that style again.
Then we could do country next.
I thought we were going to. I actually. So that's funny because the request I made to the guy who made it, I was like, I want it to be like country. Hip hop, because you and I got on a kick of country hip hop, like that genre of music, mm-hmm. a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember the songs we were listening to, but if you have, like, people are probably like, "What are you talking about?" It's like there actually is a genre of music.
I'm gonna look it up because I remember that.
Call I don't know if they call it country hip hop, but that's what it is—a blend of country music and hip hop. It's very like, it has a very like Southern U.S. style sound to it, because it's like a mixture of like. Of hip-hop culture and redneck culture. So it's good stuff, though. Remember? So I asked the guy to make it like that, but I don't think he knew what I was talking about because he didn't really hit it. But regardless.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Country hip-hop, right? Country.
Yeah. Are you going to try to play one live on the show here?
Like, if I find the song that I'm thinking of, I will.
I don't remember. Like, there was one song I remember that hooked us on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That was more than a couple years ago. That was like 6 years ago. Because I remember it was when Dave was still working with us, because it was him that first introduced us to that one song. And then I remember we were actually out at Round Lake listening to this genre of music constantly.
Yep.
So anyway, everybody's like, can you shut up and
enough.
Get on with it?
Yeah, exactly.
Hockey games last night. Oilers blew it.
Ugh.
Had a 4-2 lead and lost 5-4.
Didn't they have a 4-1 lead at one point? I thought they had a 3-goal lead.
It might have been. I don't remember how that exactly played out. But every intermission, all the panel was talking about was how much, like, the Oilers were laying the boots to the Canucks. They were like, remember everything we said before and the Canucks couldn't let happen? They're letting it happen at will.
Right now.
Like, the Oilers are just walking all over them here. And it's like, then all of a sudden they lose. How'd that happen? Son of a gun.
You know why? Because they quit playing. This is what happens. This is a very dangerous thing to do, is to get too many.
Tell me about it.
Too many, like too far out in front, and then you just stop.
Yeah. My adult safe team, it's like, don't go into the third period of the lead. It's dangerous. That's a dangerous place to be.
That's how you lose.
Yeah. That's how you get smacked.
So I watched the Florida-Boston game 2 nights ago. Not this one, but 2 nights ago. 3 nights ago. And Boston was up 3-1. And then in the third period, and then in the third period, Florida comes out. And in the first 5 minutes, they outshot him 11-1. The Boston coach calls a timeout and was like, guys, we can't just sit back and hold this 2-goal lead. Like, we're going to get thumped for sure. And then they scored the next goal. Boston scored the next goal. And it was like, all right, here we go. Back to offense. And then they ended up winning that game 5-1 or something, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, they got
beat. That happened in Edmonton last night, and they're like, okay, got the lead. Here we go. Yeah. Everybody stand at the red line, and then you just get smoked, scored on. Crowd gets in it. You're like, what are you? Especially when you're in somebody else's rink, you just have to, like, you have to bury them.
Don't let that momentum shift.
Ever.
So,
silly buggers. One of the songs that I'm thinking of is Old Town Road.
Oh, yeah, that's
pretty,
one of them.
That's a pretty good example of it, right? And Florida Georgia Line has this is how we roll.
Shut your face.
This is how we roll?
No.
Yeah.
No. There's no Florida Georgia Line in this. Come on. Wasn't the one I'm... No, I mean... Oh, no, this is not...
This is Old Town Road.
Right, but...
This is the kind of music. This is country hip-hop.
Yeah, but this is, like, too mainstream. The one we're thinking of wasn't about, like, blue jeans. There was, like, a song about jeans or something. Nah, no. You lost me.
I'll find it, and then I'll send it to you. We'll actually play it.
You're actually pissing me off that you brought up Florida Georgia Line in this conversation about country hip-hop.
And then, like, Lil Bit with Nelly in Florida Georgia Line?
No. Yes. Wait, these are supposed to be guys you've never heard of before. They're just, like, grassroots from the swamps. What am I trying to say?
The swamps that we were listening to.
They're just like, they weren't huge. It wasn't Florida Georgia Line. My Lord. It
wasn't Florida Georgia Line.
Anyway, we listened to it a lot in golf. You should, like, I want you to find it now, but I'm just worried that that's what you came up with.
I find myself so distracted that I can't actually talk.
Right.
And look.
That happens to me too. Okay, fine. So let's get on with the show then. We'll talk about your nipples on the next podcast, on the next episode.
Oh, boy. Here, I golfed yesterday.
Okay.
I went for a round of golf last night.
Okay.
After work. There were so many signs that I shouldn't have golfed. So here's what happened. I showed up at the course.
It was closed the first time.
I walked in and I was like, I'd like a cart. And they were like, nah, it's too wet. You have to walk. And so I said to Luke, I was like, I'm not prepared to do that. I don't want to walk, not for the first round of the year.
Yeah.
But I was like, whatever. Then, yeah, this is it.
I just need you to get real loose.
Like, you're connected on Bluetooth.
Worked out really well.
Who is this?
Grab your love,
so this used to be a big TikTok song,
grab your
too,
love,
right?
Yeah. Partner. And if you're by yourself, no worries.
Blanco Brown.
Just follow.
No,
me.
That's not the one I'm thinking of. But this is it. This is country hip-hop.
This is fun.
Country hip-hop.
Right? Why can't our intro be like this?
It should be like this.
Come on.
Do it.
So there's that. But that wasn't the one we were trying to think of. But that one came up and I was like, oh, I know this one for sure.
So I get back to my truck. I pull my golf bag out and... Liz from the WRLA had bought me a bottle of gin and it was in my golf bag. And I saw the one towel was in my bag and I was like, oh, I want that towel so that I can clean my clubs after I shoot. Grabbed the towel, pulled it out of the bag, and I had wrapped that bottle of gin in the towel. I forgot about it. Fell on the road and broke. I spilled a whole, like, it was like an $80 bottle
of
gin.
Was this in front of, like,
Luke?
No, but, like, nobody from the club saw this happen?
No.
He's like, get the
magic.
Get out of here.
He's like, you're not allowed to bring your own alcohol. It's like, I bring a 40 of gin. It's like, so I had it in my golf bag because I was in Edmonton, and that was the safest way to travel it back with it. So no cart. I broke a bottle of gin on the counter, and then I only had one shoe in my golf bag. So I played golf yesterday barefoot.
Shut up.
For real.
Well, what shoes did you wear there?
I had sandals. I just wore, like, flip-flops. And so I wore the flip-flops while golfing, and then I would take them off, hit my shot, put them back on, walk. And so I was, like, I was so nervous. I was going to have, like, a blister on the inside of my foot from wearing sandals.
Oh, man, that's...
Anyways. Comes in threes.
Dedicated.
So there was all three of them.
Dedicated.
Shot an 81. Luke was like, there's no way you actually shot that. I was like, yeah, I really did. So then we went through the card, and he was like, well, look at that. I thought you're just such a mental midget, like walking and broke that bottle of gin and no shoes. He was like, I thought you were going to shoot 110.
Yeah.
So
turns out by not having no shoes, it took your mind off of your swing and everything else. And you're just like,
I just had to
worry about your feet, which is the easy part. Or like just stand there.
My grippers. I just had to dig the grippers into the ground.
Claw your little toes in.
So
that's funny. Okay. So today's episode is going to be about how to build the most budget-friendly composite deck. And
what a great topic.
Yeah, we're 240 episodes in damn near, and we've never done this kind of thing. And so what we're going to do is go through each kind of component of a deck and talk about what a good budget selection is for that piece of the deck. Now, this is not how to build a deck on as little money as possible. There's no pallets involved. There's no junk product involved. This is how do you build a good pumps a deck with good products that are budget friendly to keep the overall cost down, but not build a piece of shit.
The song is called Backyard Lullaby.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
That's the song. You're,
that's funny.
As you were talking, I was like, I'm going to sleep right so now.
Funny. And then I'll pull up because I'm connected.
Backyard Lullaby is the song.
100. Yeah. It has nothing to do. I'm going to start laughing like Bert Kreischer here. Yeah. It has nothing to do with
jeans or.
Yeah.
None.
No, but here's why I thought it did. Because the guy's name is Demon Jones.
Yeah, denim.
Denim jeans is what was in my head.
Demon Jones, yeah.
And I remember when Dave first was telling us about this guy, we're like, I think he was saying, maybe it's Demon Jones. And I kept thinking he was saying denim.
Wrong.
Jones.
Yeah.
And so denim jeans was always like in my head when that guy's name comes up. Yeah. So I was like, is there something like jeans? No. No, it's not. Oh, man. Okay, let's play this for the folks here and see if we can get a little action with this.
Oh, yeah, such a good song.
I don't even want to talk over this one.
I'm not trying to complain. I'm so thankful for what I got. I work my fingers to the bone, but these bills, they never stop. No matter how much overtime I get, it ain't quite enough. The mortgage gets late, something breaks, and that's when the times get tough. And bad things come in threes, but I wish that wasn't true.
Man, this guy's gonna blow up now. Take another after this one. He's gonna be so rich.
Over our head and plenty of food to eat. Clean clothes for both of the kids, socks and shoes on their feet.
Man, they got no idea. See how many people can like never let them see tag us in a Johnson post with them playing this song.
And if my stress gets too high, then I'll take a step outside. Embrace the sounds that nature makes
go.
My backyard look. Listen to the crickets sing. The rattle of the dog chain.
So good.
Listen to the southbound breeze just creeping through the trees and the creak of the weather vane.
Okay, let them discover this on their own.
Lawn chair, sending up a
no.
little prayer.
No, I'm in. Just
turn my troubles down low, Lord, soothe my soul. One more time with a backyard lullaby.
Come on, that's so good.
You're welcome.
If you're listening to us, contractors, play that song on your job sites, record a video, and tag us. This will be fun.
That'd be so fun.
Like little micro viral portion of this song. And tag Demon Jones.
Demon Jones.
D-E-M-U-N. So good. Backyard Lullaby. Okay. So we thought we'd go through each component of a deck and give you a suggestion for like what we would still do. I would still build this deck myself. If I was on a budget, this is how I would do it. I'm not going to go buy cheap, absolute trash composite decking from some place.
Yeah, you're not going to buy like normal
shipping container and
spruce lumber or
right.
break down
you're
a pallet.
Still going to do it properly.
Yeah, okay. I can get behind this.
Sure. And then what we're going to do is we're going to follow it up with another episode that talks about if you were going to build a lifetime deck, you want this thing to last forever. No longer was budget the primary concern. You just wanted this thing to be built super solid and forever. Then what would I do then?
It's funny how differently I speak to people on job sites, like or at their house when they're talking about that. So I just went out to someone's house, did a site visit the other day, and they're like, oh no, we're not moving. Like this is our house and we're staying in it forever. Like we're going to have a family and raise our kids and we're staying here. And I was like, okay. So then now you have a totally different conversation about like adding lights because now the deck is going to be there forever.
Yeah.
Right.
They sound like they planned their life out so much better than I did. We got our dream house. We're going to be here forever. Now we're going to start a family. Yeah. If you do it the other way around, you can't ever get to the dream house part. You just fill your shitty house up with all sorts of kids. And you got no money left to go get that nice house.
Yeah. I'd like to gain a little bit of money for a down payment. You can't. We eat all our down payments every day.
Yeah.
Man, you're... Like, I think you're going to have to really consider poaching when your boys turn 13.
Right? There's a lot of jackrabbits around my place.
So Wyatt right now.
We're going to start eating rabbit, wild rabbit.
Wyatt, yeah, you should.
Jackrabbits.
Wyatt's 10. Man, he eats. Can he eat? So the other day we were in Edmonton and he ate a foot-long sub. He's 9 years old. 10. Foot-long sub. finished it, and then looked at me and was like, do we have any other snacks in the cooler? And I was like, dude.
Oh, man, look at that.
I was like, dude, you just had a foot-long sub. Like, you're 9 years old. He's like, yeah, I'm hungry. And then he ate a bag of chips, and then he had a banana. I was like, oh, boy.
So
as yep, they the people start to grow, anyways, you're going to have three boys. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah. Well, four. The one's old enough, though, that he's like, he just eats a normal amount now.
Yeah.
Like, he's 17 and a half. He eats like what an adult would eat.
Yep.
So it's expected. You're like, now you just plan for that to be adult size plate now. It's graduated from the mini plates. Anyway, we're 15 minutes in. We've tried to get this going a couple times. Here we go. Okay, so we're going to go through what the components we're calling footings, the framing, the decking, the railing, the stairs. And then I brought in categories of lighting, shade, kitchen, and water management, but those are more going to be on the lifetime stuff. But we'll, in the event that somebody building a budget deck absolutely needs to add these things, then we're going to give some direction on how to save some money with those things too. So here we go. Footings. To build a budget deck. Now, some people are going to push back, and some contractors are going to hear us talk about this and be like, that's not the right thing to use for a deck. Fair. But in our markets,
depends where you are,
what we're suggesting is completely code compliant and fine to do. Yep. So if you're on a budget and you're going to, as opposed to pouring big concrete pile footings or using gigantic helical screw piles, which is the correct way to build any deck, you do have the option here, as long as your deck is under 6 feet tall in the cities and under 2 feet tall in some of the other, like Moose Jaw and some other areas, required under 2 feet tall. So check your local codes. But you can use, you don't have to put a pile into the ground necessarily. So if you're going to go that route, typically we would sell people a slab and what's called a GH leveler. So yep. An adjustable footing that can, with basically a plumbing wrench, you can adjust, it's on a threaded rod, and you can adjust the height of the deck should the ground, when the ground heaves or settles due to frost or just settlement or whatever.
Yep.
So that's a good budget way to do it, because a GH leveler's, you know, it's with the leveler and the slab, you're talking like 30, 40 bucks all in for each footing versus a proper helical pile of 400.
Yeah. And this is the concept that happens here is you just decide that the deck is going to move and you allow it to move, and you accommodate for that by making the support adjustable. So it's like, that's okay. The deck will move.
And then what you should do,
I intend for that to happen,
is adjust it.
And then adjust
it. You should be out there maintaining it. This is this one has maintenance to it.
Yep.
Nobody does. Until it's so out of whack that it's like, well, I have to now because I can see that it's out of level. But really, technically, you should be out there in the, like, checking it a few times a year and like adjusting it.
And especially in the new homes, when you do this, you'll have to do it within the first 6 months because it'll settle.
Yeah.
You have disturbed soil and... So anyways, allowed here, and it's a budget friendly way to do it. And it still provides all the strength and support you need.
Yeah. Yeah. The issue with this solution isn't that these options can't bear the weight. There's no wind uplift protection. So if you're in a high wind area and the deck is higher up, which is generally why they say like over 2 feet or 6 feet, depending on the place, then you don't want to use these. The other option is to use the Pilex screw piles. And so Pilex screw piles they're 50 inches, about 48 of it goes into the ground.
Yep.
They do have extensions to go deeper if you want, little 2 foot extensions that could go on it, but they have a small helix on them, just a 6 inch helix, as opposed to the bigger ones that generally are 10, like 8 to 12, I'll say.
Yep.
And these are much lighter duty, way, way,
way lighter,
way lighter duty than a big proper helical pile. But again, they're 40 bucks. They twist into the ground. You can rig them up to give you some wind uplift resistance on them too. So they might be a better solution in some applications. But either way, these are going to give you a budget-friendly way to put a footing under your deck.
Yeah.
The framing. When you get to the framing, there's no secret to this. Just use your everyday pressure-treated framing. In our market, that's SPF, spruce, pine, fir. In some markets, it's hemlock. Whatever it is in your market, it'll be the most budget-friendly framing solution for your composite deck. I should mention too that this is, I kind of alluded to, but maybe didn't say it specifically, but this is for a composite deck, because you could build a cheaper deck if you go all wood, but that's not what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We're going for maintenance-free-ish, low maintenance.
Maintenance-free-ish, yeah.
So treated framing is the solution here. There's not really an alternative to that. That's going to be your lowest cost option. Now you do have the option of taping the framing if you want a little bit of extra longevity, but that's going to cost a little bit more, about a buck a square foot. So it's really insignificant cost and the whole thing. I think it's a good idea, even on a budget deck, to add the joist tape or a deck frame coating of some sort. Fastmaster's got their new one out that paints on. It's a little bit less money than using the tapes. So I still think that's a good idea, even when you're building a super budget deck, because it's going to help your deck last a lot longer. Therefore, it's still a good idea even when it's budget.
Yep.
So,
yeah, because your composite, like, the composite, it's all plastic. It's just going to, it doesn't absorb any water. It doesn't help dissipate any of the moisture that lands on the deck. It all ends up in the framing.
Yeah.
And so you just accelerate the rot of the framing if you don't take some measure to stop that water.
Yep. Not required anywhere, just a good practice. And then the decking. So this one's always tricky. And we just finished doing an episode a couple weeks ago about how to identify really bad composite decking, really shitty composite decking.
Yep.
And so we're absolutely not suggesting that you go find the cheapest composite decking out there, because there's a lot of trash. But what you should do, what you can do in this case, is find a really good brand of composite decking that has a budget board, because they all do. Most of them do.
Yeah.
So in this category, at least from what we offer in this market, I would say that Everlast Infinity Line or Fibron Good Life are two really, really great budget options. Fibron Good Life used to be our number, like still is. There's no used to be. I just expect that this might start to shift. Fibron Good Life used to be or is our most, our highest, what am I trying to say? Our best selling.
It's like most lineal footage.
Budget board.
Runs through the store.
Yep. Best selling board, period.
Yeah.
But it happens to be a budget board. So that Fibron Good Life Cottage color is a rocket. It's just a light gray, no variegation. Sell a ton of it. They do have the Good Life Weekender line as well. Sorry, that's the Weekender line. The Escapes collection as well, which has some variegation to it. It costs a little bit more, but it, like, I think it's worth it. It looks a lot nicer to add a little bit of color to it.
Yep.
And now this year, we actually have the Everlast Infinity line. And boy, oh boy, like, this is going to sell.
Yes, it will.
Because you get the really pretty variegation colors at a price point less than the Fibron Good Life solid colors, even, mm-hmm. and less than the Trex Enhance solid color. About the same price as the Trex Enhance solid colors.
Correct.
So about the same price, and you get these beautifully variegated boards, really nice embossing to it. The rep was actually just here 2 days ago, and he had showed us pictures of some actual installs that were done, must have been in Calgary, with the Everlast Infinity on a full deck now, it and the coloring so is sharp. So freaking good.
Yep.
Like, you see it on the 2 foot samples in our store, and it looks really, really nice. And then you see it on a full deck, you're like, holy crap, there's more variegation to that than I thought.
Yep.
And it's not as blotchy as like Fibron Good Life in the Escapes collection. You get like kind of blotches of color streaked in. It's like 4 feet of not much color and then kind of like a streak.
Yeah.
A lot more consistent coloring through the Everlast Infinity as well. I think it's a great option. Both these boards are good though. Trex does have their Enhanced line, which is a good option too. These are all correct. Good brands that will give you what you're looking for. That low maintenance, no maintenance, a long, good long warranty. And should something happen to it, there's a company standing behind it that is like, that's been around a long time and actually backs their warranties.
Yep.
So anything to add to that?
No.
Fine.
I think you killed it.
Good. Railing. So if you're going to go railing, if you're going to go composite, sorry, decking, you're going to go some sort of maintenance free railing as well.
I actually think that even if you do a wood deck, decking, that aluminum railing is the way to go.
I agree.
I just can't. When people come in and they're like, I want to do a wood rail, wood picket, wood post. It's like, God, that's so much work to maintain that later on.
Yeah.
You're just trying to save a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And it's like, so much time to take care of that.
Yeah. So railing, I would still suggest going aluminum. I know in the US, aluminum is the underdog to composite railings and even steel railings. Yeah. Iron railing, but really it's the dominant player in the Canadian market for sure. And so we carry a lot of aluminum rail. We stock three brands between Regal Ideas, Vista Railings, and Fortress Home Railing.
Yep.
And Fortress is by far the most budget friendly. It's a good like 15-20% less than the other two, and you're not giving up any quality whatsoever. You actually get a longer warranty, 20-year warranty on that product. The powder coating is really thick on it. The posts are thicker than the other two, like the wall of the posts.
Yep.
I think it's a more unique look. The other two look very similar to each other. One's just kind of like the through post. One's the continuous top rail look.
Mm-hmm.
Fortress does technically have both options.
Yep.
But you're not giving anything up. It's still a really great looking product, but it, but you save a little bit of money. So
yeah. Fast install, really like super fast install.
And not even close. Yeah. By far the fastest install of any aluminum railing product that I've seen.
Yep.
So it's a really good option if you're looking to save money, but still get that low maintenance.
And it's all like a bunch of this stuff is done so that if you are DIY and putting this together, it's actually pretty easy to install this system as well.
They all are, like between the three we mentioned, they're all pretty easy to put together. Like they're all intended for DIY installation.
Yep.
They're all coming. Well, not all. They come, the other two come in broke down packages. So you buy a pack of pickets and they snap in. Both Regal and Vista that work that way. So it's not hard. It just takes a little bit longer, but they're all friendly.
Cutting that last spacer is always so wildly dangerous.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. But the Fortress ones, it's a pre-assembled panel. So you just have to cut the panel to length, and the brackets that are on the posts aren't sleeves. They're U brackets.
Yep.
So the panel drops into it, and then you put the screw through the side in a hole that's already there, and you snap a cap over top.
So good.
It's just so fast.
Yep.
Anyway, so it's a really good option. The only knock on that being that it's only available in black and white. If you want other colors,
and that's fine.
No dice. But 90% of the market is black and white.
That's right.
So, stairs. Might seem like a weird thing to include in here, but there is such thing as less expensive stairs and more expensive stairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're suggesting here is using a metal stringer and just putting treads down as opposed to like trimming out a full staircase. And so
all like, that fascia adds up, hey?
Yeah. You can do just like steel painted stringers from a lot of places, like Pilex has them. We used to carry them. They just didn't sell that well, and they were tough to use because they had weird ridges on them where the bolts are, like the fasteners are supposed to go. We actually switched to stocking aluminum stringers from Regal, the Quick Step line, for a couple reasons. One, they look way nicer. They're a much, like, even exposed when you see them, they still look really nice.
Yep.
They come in three colors, so black, white, or their yard bronze color. So you got a brown, a white, and a black option on them. They look nice. They install easier. And they actually have some accessories to, like, a riser cover. So if you don't, like, if you want to close in your risers, you don't have to use your deck boards. There's a little cover that snaps in to the riser and covers that in two, and it matches the color of the stringer itself. And then you just put down either the Quick Step treads, which are 4 foot wide fiberglass reinforced treads, but they only come in brown and gray.
Or like a dark gray, like a charcoal gray.
Yeah. Or you can do just the composite deck boards that you're putting on your deck, put them on the stringers too. So that's a nice budget-friendly way to do a set of stairs. It does complicate the installation of railing a little bit more because you don't have anything now to bolt. Like, there is a system with the Quick Step treads. Yeah, they've got a system for doing it.
Put some inserts in there and
plate on the bottom. But if you're just doing composite decking, you got to rig it up a little bit. But anyway, decent way to do it. Now that's the end of it. There you go. Budget deck. See you next week. Peace. Really, if you're trying to just build a basic budget deck, then you are done at this point. You don't need any of these fancy accessories. But given that when we go to do the next episode about the Lifetime deck, we're going to talk about these things, we thought we should give alternatives here too. So lighting, not necessary. But that's not entirely true. Some markets do require safety lighting around stairs and whatnot, right? So you might have to have it.
That's it. I'm going to lobby the city.
Yeah.
Safety lighting required on decks.
So you may or may not need it, but if you do, you don't have to go with premium lighting necessarily. Again, there's crap product out there too. You don't want to have to replace your lighting later and run, like, nobody wants to do that later. So buy a good brand, but just do it on your stairs. Just do it where it's required, where it's safety concern, if you're trying to do this on the budget.
Yeah.
There are some, like, in our stores, like Fortress has a pretty affordable light package that you buy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's much more affordable than, say, an Inlight, which is a more premium light that we would use.
Yeah.
But you can get a pack of lights and the transformer and everything for a very reasonable price. You could do a solar fixture on the stairs as well.
Or post caps.
So there's some options there for sure. And I guess we'll leave it at that. The other option is to do none if you don't need it. It's also very budget friendly.
Yeah.
Unless somebody trips down the stairs and you live in the States and you have to pay to get your ankle casted.
Very.
Then
should have had the lights.
That deck just got really expensive.
Yeah.
If you're in Canada, no big deal. Just go to the waiting room for 6 days and then eventually you'll get it set and it'll be good to go. Shade. So again, not not a requirement, but if you do want to do a budget-friendly, DIY-friendly shade option, the Toya Grid pergola kits are very DIY-friendly.
Yep.
I would argue they're very cost-effective. A lot of people are going to say, like, the hell they are, because the brackets themselves are pricey.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at just a box of brackets, and the box of brackets is $200, you're like, holy, like, that for that? But then when you're like, but what does that box of brackets do for you, though?
Right.
It simplifies the entire thing. You require less lumber to do it, less fasteners to do it. You don't have to pay somebody to build the pergola. You have to do this yourself. In the end, you're saving money. In the end, you're going to get a, you know, a 10 by 10 or a 12 by 12 pergola for $1,200 all in, lumber and everything done.
Yep.
That's a low-cost pergola. Shade sale and everything.
Yep.
So, yes, the box bracket's $200. The whole pergola is $1,200. That's cheap for a big pergola.
Yep.
So you have that option.
Inexpensive.
Kitchen. A lot of people do want to have built-in kitchens nowadays. On a budget deck, here's a tip or a solution to make it feel a little bit more custom. Is just to build some side tables for your existing barbecue. So you've got a barbecue. It maybe has some built-in side tables. You can take those off.
Yep.
Build a couple permanent side tables beside it that maybe have a door that opens, whatever. Out of the composite decking you're using, maybe you have some scraps from the project you can build them out of.
Yep.
And it gives it this built-in permanent structure, and then maybe you can build yourself a bigger work counter space than what you had on the side table of your barbecue or something, right?
Yep.
So it's a decent way to do that. And then you can build in some storage underneath as well to store all your barbecue crap and whatever. And yeah. So if you're going to do it, that's a way to do it on the budget. And water management. Again, for a budget deck.
Dexter Dry.
Probably don't need it. But if you do, we do have an option from Dexter Dry that is a lower cost solution than a Trex Rain Escape or a Zip Up or a lot of the other underdeck ceilings or whatever. It's a gasket system that goes in the grooves of the deck boards of composite decking and essentially makes it watertight just with that rubber gasket that gets compressed between the deck boards. So if this is something where you like, hey, I want to be able to store my lawnmower and my patio furniture under the deck and I want it to be dry, but I don't want to spend money on like a more expensive system, then Dexter Dry can allow you to do that. The only knock, I shouldn't say knock, but the only thing to be aware of is that you do have to then face screw your decking.
I think
decking
that's a knock. I do think it's a knock.
You're using the grooves, right?
Yep.
So I think it's a great option for, like, in our stores for customers when it's a smaller deck, maybe it's a front stair landing or something like that, or it's like a little 10 by 10 builder deck at the back and they're just using it for storage. And, you know, it's not 400 square feet that you have to face screw.
Yeah.
It's a smaller project, so it's not a big deal to go face screw everything. I think it's a good option for that. And like, it's an option for bigger decks too, but it's just,
there's a lot of work on a big deck.
Then the pros and cons balance out a bit more with the other options.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
So that's essentially it. There are ways to save money on this during the build as well. We're going to do a whole separate episode about that. About
way to tease them up.
Yeah. About how do you plan and what are some tips during the build that you can do to save some money as well? So this was product focused. These are the products that you can kind of use to achieve a lower cost deck. Because what people don't understand sometimes, they just think everything's expensive. But what they don't understand is that composites in our store, composites run from $3-$3.50 a linear foot up to $12.50.
Mm-hmm.
You get into a millboard, we're talking like $16-$18 a linear foot versus $3.50.
Yep.
It's a wild gap between the low end and the high end.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
But what most people are after on a composite deck is something that's going to look great years down the road and I don't have to maintain it all the time. And they all give you that.
Any one of them.
So, yep. You want to do it on the cheap or on the lesser money, we just did it for you.
You're welcome.
You don't even have to come into the store. You just go on the website and you order what you need now.
See?
I'm just kidding. Okay, anything to add to that, Wado, or is that?
No, I think that's it.
Did we cover it?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
You want to just get on to the next?
Might as well.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Good job, Shane.
Cheers for
good job
for a short episode. Okay, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions about the budget decks, shoot us a message on Instagram.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Ultimate Deck Podcast. Now you know what we're about. Check the site, come and shop, ultimatedeckshop.com. Hit us right away for sponsorships or tell us if you want to collaborate. Let's go. Check us out on any social networks. Thank you for listening.